Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
One of the universal complaints about this season is the frantic scramble to find the right gifts for whoever it is you have to shop for. How do you figure out what to give your friends, your family members, your spouse, your colleagues? For many of us, it can be a real struggle.
And for those of you who are struggling, our next guest has some ideas that might help you. Michael Norton is a psychologist and an associate professor at Harvard Business School. He studies how giving affects human behavior, as well as some of the myths behind what really makes people happy when it comes to giving and receiving. And his findings may surprise some of you.
In fact, we had Michael Norton on our show last May to talk about his book, Happy Money, The Science of Smarter Spending. It offers a provocative idea, which is this. If you think money can't buy happiness, then you're not spending it right. Well, we've asked him back because many of his principles can also help us think about gift giving. And Michael Norton, welcome back to the program. Really good to have you.
Great to be back.
And I want to invite our listeners into this program. Listeners, what makes the best gifts? Are you struggling to find the right gifts for those you love in this season? What about giving the gift of time instead of stuff, which we're going to be talking about in a moment? What's the best gift you've ever received? And are there particular gifts that make you feel particularly good about giving? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255 and 1-800-423-TALK. And I want to apologize for my voice, but I assure you it sounds much worse, Michael, than it's making me feel. I'm actually feeling a whole lot better, even if I don't sound like it. But, Michael, we're going to talk about some of the myths of gift giving and how to make others and ourselves feel better about gift giving. But first, I want to back up and talk about what we already know and how we know it, that this basic idea that giving can actually make us happy, right?
Yeah, one of the things that we see time and time again in our research is that when you buy stuff for yourself, it's not bad. Cars aren't bad. Houses aren't bad. Yeah. Flat-screen TVs aren't bad. But they're not good. They don't do a lot for your happiness over time.
Mm. And how do we know that? Because one of the most interesting things for me in preparing for this interview and reading about what you've done are these fascinating experiments that you've done. But how do we know that?
We really do. We decided to figure out the impact of money on happiness is just give people money and send them out in the world and say, you got to spend it this way, you've got to spend it this way, you've got to spend it this way, and then ask them afterward, how do you feel? And
yeah,
it turns out that when we give people money to spend on themselves, at the end of the day, they feel just the same as they did that morning. But when we give them money and they give it away, they actually say that they're happier.
And the way this particular experiment worked, if I have it right, there was a grad student in Vancouver who literally passed out envelopes on the street. And just sort of lay that out a little bit, what she did.
That's right. So you'd think, no matter what, if someone walked around and gave out envelopes filled with cash, you'd be thrilled to death at the end of the day because you got a free $20.
Yeah.
But what we found is even though people were very happy to take the money, that when she called them back that night and asked them, you know, what'd you do with the money? And they, for themselves, they bought stupid stuff. And for other people, they did things like give money to a homeless person or buy a gift for a friend. It turns out that you'd think you'd be happy with $20 regardless, but the people with $20 who spent it on themselves just felt the same. Only those people who gave, a homeless person, bought a gift for a friend, only they were happier.
Really interesting. So, okay, so we understand that giving is a good thing. So now let's get to this season where a lot of people are feeling overwhelmed by, you know, maybe even what feels like an obligation to buy gifts. You write that there are myths of gift giving. So let's start with myth number one. People think it's best to give stuff as a gift, but that's not what your research finds, right?
That's right. If we ask people what is a gift, almost everybody immediately thinks of something in a box. You know, you get a gift and you put it in a box and then you give that thing to someone and the thing is the gift. But in fact, if you think about what a gift is, it's something that someone wants. And it could be a thing, but it could be something else entirely from a thing. For example, it could be an experience that you give them. Or as you mentioned earlier, it could be time that you give them. We can think more broadly than stuff about what's really going to make people happy.
Okay. Well, this is the season of really trying to make difficult decisions. So what do we mean by giving time or giving experiences? So a gift certificate to a restaurant, for example.
Yeah. So gift certificates are tricky, and we'll probably talk more about when those are a good idea, when those are a bad
okay.
idea, because some people love them and some people hate them. But yes, if you think about a gift certificate, even within gift certificates, should you get one to a retailer? Or should you get one to an experience that you could go to a movie or an evening out? Mm-hmm. And the research shows that when you give those kinds of gifts, those experiences, not only does the person enjoy them more, mm-hmm. but they actually like you more. They feel closer to you, and they feel like it's a better gift that you gave them.
Interesting. And then there's this idea of the gift of time being better than stuff, right? So helping people, what, with things that they might not want to spend time on, like cleaning their house, for example.
That's right. I mean, if you ask people, what is the thing you really wish in the world you had more of? Most people don't say stuff. They say time. Mm. I would kill for an extra half hour every day to get everything done. And we don't think of a gift as time. We think of it as something in a box. But you can give people time. You can actually go and help them with something they hate. And now there's websites where you can literally pay somebody to go do something for someone. So if they hate assembling their IKEA furniture, you can pay for someone to go over and help them. You can pay for someone to go shovel their walk. Mm. It isn't that expensive. They could do it themselves, but they probably won't. But when you give them that gift of time, really it's a much better gift than giving them another thing that's just going to go in their closet.
So how did you actually study this, that the gift of time is the thing that people appreciate most?
So we've seen in across many domains that time is more emotionally meaningful, really, than money. So everybody likes getting money, but really time is our precious resource. So when you look at when people give time versus give money, or get time versus get money, it tends to be the case that time has a bigger impact on us, in part because you could get more money anytime. I mean, it's hard to get money, but you could get another job. You can never get more time. You're only going to live for as long as you're going to live, and there's always only 24 hours in a day. So giving people extra time really is an incredibly meaningful gift.
Listeners, we're talking to Michael Norton. He's an associate professor at Harvard Business School, author of Happy Money, The Science of Smarter Spending. And today we're talking about what makes the best gift and debunking some ideas about gift giving. Do you struggle with gift giving? What about giving the gift of time instead of stuff? We'd love to hear from you. The best gift you've ever received, or the gift that made you feel the best when you gave it. Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Before we get to some other myths, I'm interested in asking you about this as well. You've done research that shows that we feel best about giving when it's a real choice, that when we're cornered into giving gifts, it can really sort of suck the joy out of gift giving, right?
That's right. I think many of us feel around the holidays that we have to buy for everyone. You know, we have to buy for our boss. We have to buy for our administrative assistant. We have to buy for every single person in our family and everyone we've ever met. And it can get very burdensome.
Yeah, there's a nice example that I came across in reading about your stuff. The colleague who you like very much, and you're suddenly presented with his daughter selling overpriced Girl Scout cookies. You know you're supporting a good cause, but you don't really feel good about doing it because you sort of feel like there's a gun put to your head, right?
Exactly. The other one is someone who shows up at your office and says, I'm running a race for some charity. Will you sponsor me? You kind of have to say yes, or you're kind of a jerk if you don't. But the funny thing is, so it is true that when you have to give, it's not as good as when you choose to give.
Yeah.
But if you think about using that money instead on something for yourself, it's still better to give. So even when you buy those Girl Scout cookies and you wish you didn't have to because the person's in your face, compared to buying yourself something else that you already have, you're still being generous. You're still helping someone. You're still going to get a cute little kid come and say thank you. That's actually still going to be better than being selfish. But you're right that the best thing to do is when you give just out of your own heart and nobody made you do it.
But see, this is the problem I have in this time of the year, this idea that we're being cornered into buying gifts. I'm not talking about buying gifts for the people that I truly love and want to buy gifts for. But there is this sense of you've got to buy gifts for a whole bunch of people who you might not want to buy gifts for. Any guidance, suggestions about how to overcome that feeling of having the joy of this season sort of being sucked right out of you because of this?
I think to the extent that you can buy gifts that actually make people happy, it helps a lot. So in workplaces especially, I know that we've all the experience of exchanging gifts in kind of a sullen sort of way. Nobody really likes anything that's being exchanged.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes it's just people handing gift certificates back and forth to each other. It's really not the spirit of giving, I don't think. But you can think about giving in a different way. So for example, we talked about giving experiences. You can create for your coworkers experience for them instead of just giving them stuff. The other thing about experiences is maybe you can go too. So I can buy you an experience and we could maybe go together, or the company could go together.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of sitting in an office exchanging stupid gifts, maybe we could give each other an experience and go do that. Still, maybe we'd rather be home napping, but it's better than the boring office party that we always have.
Good point. Let's take a couple of calls because we've already got a bunch of people who want to get in on this conversation. Then we'll move on to the other myths of gift giving with Michael Norton. Let's go to Sienna, who's calling from East Wareham. Hi, Sienna. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Very well. What's on your mind?
Oh, I was just thinking, actually, after hearing your conversation, that I would love to receive the gift of time because I'm a mother of twin three-year-old girls, and I'm a grad student. I'm 39, and I only work part-time a couple nights a week. But if I could receive the gift of time, I would be eternally grateful because I have so much to get done, and I just never have enough time, and I just think that's right on point.
So time above any other stuff or objects or new car or anything like that, it's time for you, Sienna.
For me, and just thinking about it also, I did receive a gift last year in my name. A donation was made for a family to buy a goat, and just broke down and I started crying. Sure. And I said, this is the best gift I have ever given, which, you know.
Well, Sienna, thank you. Thank you so much for your thoughts. I wish you all the best for this season as well. Let's go to Benjamin, who's calling from Chelmsford. Benjamin, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. Great topic here. And I was interested in this trend, and I think the previous caller just actually spoke to that, of giving to a third organization, giving a donation to a third organization in lieu of giving gifts, and what the author thinks of that trend.
Michael, what about that?
Definitely a great question. Definitely an emerging trend of giving. Often when I suggest this to people, the example they bring up is George Costanza on Seinfeld creating the Human Fund, which was a fake charity, and giving gifts to people that were all going back to him. That's not what we mean. So it is, in fact, the case, as the previous caller said, it is, in fact, the case that often if someone gives on your behalf, it can be a meaningful experience. At the same time, though, people sometimes do feel cheated by that because they think, you know, did you really care about what charity I care about, or did you just do this for everybody? Always when you're giving gifts, what you're really trying to do is think of the person you're giving to, what is the thing that they really value and really want? And if they really support a particular charity and you give on to that charity on their behalf, that's very often a very meaningful gift. But if you give to some random charity that they don't care about, that's when people react and say, you know what, I wish you just got me an iPod because I don't really care about that charity. Again, thinking of what they want is where to start rather than what you think they might want.
All right. I want to move on to another myth about gift giving that you debunk. People think expensive gifts are best, right? But that turns out to be wrong.
It's wrong in a lot of ways, actually. So I think people are often faced in this moment of needing to buy gifts for people, and they default to, I don't know what they want, but surely getting them something expensive is better than getting them something cheap, because it'll show that I value them.
Right.
The amount of money I spend shows how much I love you. The data shows that's totally not true. So there's a very funny study with couples who got engaged. And men believe that the price of the ring accurately reflects how much they care about their new fiance. And for women,
and it doesn't?
It does not. Fascinatingly, there's no relationship. So women don't see the price of the ring as a signal of how much the person loves and cares about them. They're looking at other things like how much the person supports them and listens to them and understands what they want. Those are the things that actually really make a difference in gift giving.
That's really interesting. So just so that I understand this part of the study correctly, so the men actually think that buying an expensive ring is the right thing to do, but the women are looking for something that shows that the man is understanding their needs.
That's right. So it could be a special ring, for example, can be much more meaningful than the most expensive ring.
Yeah.
Or I bought you a very expensive ring with some stones in it that you hate. Well, you don't want that one. Yeah, it's more expensive, but it doesn't show that you understand what I want and what I care about. That seems to be what's more important.
Really interesting. Let's take a couple more calls. Connie is calling from downtown Boston. Hi, Connie. You're on the air.
Hi. Glad to be with you. I had a great experience. I was leaving the train. I'm a commuter, and I noticed on the ground a parking ticket that someone had dropped. So I picked it up, and I was about to throw it out, and I said, no, I'm going to pay for it. So I mailed it in, and it was just a great experience to know that someone was going to find out they didn't have to pay, and I get a parking ticket, so I was really pleased. If someone had done that for me, that would have been great, too.
Connie, that's great. You know, we can tell by the way you're telling the story that it made you feel good, right?
Oh, it absolutely did. I mean, I would think of it days after, and I thought it was a crummy $5, but it just felt like, wow, it was just a great feeling.
Michael, what do you think?
Yeah, and I mean, especially if you compare that feeling to the feeling of buying another coffee for $5. In general, we think, I'll buy another coffee today. But those little tiny acts of giving, actually, not only do they make you feel good in the moment, but you remember that. You don't remember the cup of coffee you bought that day, but you still remember paying that parking ticket.
Yeah. Connie, thanks so much for the call. myth number three is actually, I think, one of the most surprising, that getting unique gifts is not best. And this is something that really surprised me. It seems very counterintuitive because I feel like I've almost been trained to search for that unique gift.
This is one that I think people have the worst horror stories about, on giving and getting unique gifts. So you, when you get married or when you have your Christmas list and you tell people what you want, you've told them specifically what it is that you want. And then they say, no, 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 I'm the one person in the world who understands that he doesn't want any of the things he listed. What he actually wants is this 17th century folk art. And usually they don't. That's not what people really want. In fact, if they give you a list of things they want, it's a pretty good chance that they probably want most of those things. To think that you're the only person of everyone who gives them gifts that understands them better than the list they gave you, it really doesn't make a lot of sense. The thing we compare it to, honestly, is if you said to a waitress, can you please bring me a hamburger? And she came back and said, you know what? I brought you sushi instead. I just think you're going to like it better. You'd say, what the hell, you know, give me the thing that I asked for. That's the thing I really wanted this year.
I think the part of that part, this part of the study, though, that is so counterintuitive is we think that we need to come up with a gift that is, if not unique, at least surprising and evidence that we thought of it. You know, so if my wife says to me, here's a list of things that I want, it's like, I can go out and get them, but am I really getting her a gift, you know, that came from my heart? So that's where I struggle with the idea of responding to lists. You know, I'm thinking it's not a real gift.
Absolutely. And in fact, the very best way to give people what they want is usually about a month before the holidays or a month before people's birthday. They start dropping hints.
Yeah.
They'll just mention there's an ad on TV and they'll say, that's a cute something or other. Those are the things that you write down and remember. That way they don't have to give you a list, but you still get them the thing. And what that shows is you were thinking the whole time about what they wanted and what you wanted to get them. Those are the gifts that really, really make people happy. If the day of, when I have to buy you something suddenly and I say, I'm just going to get something crazy, that's not usually evidence that you were really caring and really listening and really being connected the whole time.
Interesting. All right. Well, that's not going to help us for Christmas Day next week, but for next year, we can start working on that.
That's right.
Okay. Let's go to Risa, who's calling from Somerville. Risa, you're on the air with Michael Norton.
Hi there. Yeah, I just wanted to let folks know that I started a page on Facebook called Kindness Tree. And this is a way for people to donate little favors or ask for favors or kindnesses if they need them. Just recently, someone I know on Facebook was posting that she was looking for a cheap cab to go away on Thanksgiving morning. And so I said, well, what time is your flight? And she said, well, I have to be there around 4 a.m. And I thought, uh-oh. But then I said, well, I'll take you. So I got up 4:30 on Thanksgiving morning, and I drove her to the airport, and she can't stop thanking me. And I met her father recently, and he had to give me a hug. He was so overwhelmed with gratefulness. And I think that people are afraid to ask for little favors, and this is the way we can help each other, by being kinder to one another, by, you know, not having to buy anything for anyone or do great deeds. It can just be walking someone's dog or shoveling their walk, or for someone like Sienna, maybe babysitting for a few hours or something like that.
Sure.
So if people want to sign up, you know, they can go to Kindness Tree on Facebook.
Risa, thanks so much for that. Michael, have you heard about that, Kindness Tree?
I had not heard about that, but I think it's a fascinating idea to take the idea of a market and turn it into a market for kindness instead, where you can put in and you can get out whenever you need something.
A market for kindness. Risa, thanks so much for that call. Let's go to Bruce, who's calling from Brookline. Hi, Bruce, you're on the air.
Hi, great topic. Just wanted to quickly share that last year we were, after unwrapping all the gifts, my 7-year-old son, and we, you know, it was a ton of plastic Lego toys, and my wife and I looked at each other, and if you add up all the stuff that we had, we could have taken a great memorable trip somewhere, and that's what we're doing this year. We're actually on our way to Quebec City, and my son's thrilled and not complaining that he's not getting a gift, and we're excited and we're looking forward to it.
Bruce, I'm so glad to get that. So Michael, there's Bruce talking about valuing experience over stuff. Sounds like a good decision.
We see, you know, people often say, no, maybe experiences and time are good, but still people really want stuff. I know they want stuff. And the best evidence is actually from kids. It's the classic joke, but when you have kids, it's true that they open the boxes and look at the stuff and then they play with the boxes.
Yeah.
Because the boxes give them experiences. It's a spaceship. It's whatever they want it to be. The Legos are interesting, but they're a thing that they get tired of. It really is, and little kids can teach us here, it really is the experience that's so much more interesting and rewarding.
Hmm. Bruce, thanks so much for that, and safe travels up there in Canada. Let's go to Lorraine, who's calling from Lowell. Lorraine, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hi there. What's on your mind?
Hi there. I'm definitely a supporter of experience over gifts. We have all our lives given experiences with the children for birthdays, good grades, graduations, anything like that. It's always been an experience, probably a trip to a hotel with their friends and their sleeping bags in the swimming pool. And it's always been experience over presents. This year, I personally went to Cambodia for 3 weeks and just gave time to rural Cambodians. And that was an experience, again, not a gift, but an experience of time and treasures and anything that's of thought or emotion or of sacrifice or of time and or even creative is the way to go for our family. So this year there will be something under the tree, and this year it will be a book that I wrote of my experiences of those things, such as thoughts, emotions, time.
Sure, Lorraine, I'm so glad you put these ideas on the table. I want to thank you for your call and wish you the best for the holidays. Seems like, Michael, this idea of giving time and giving experiences is resonating in a big way out there. Let me sort of, we have about, I don't know, 30 seconds left or so. You know, I'd love to put you on the spot a little bit. And, you know, in light of everything we've been talking about, what's the most interesting gift you've ever given or ever received?
I actually do not, oddly enough, I do not like getting gifts. So I've been told I'm one of the hardest people to buy gifts for in the world, yeah. In part because I just don't like stuff. And now I have to not like stuff because I tell everybody stuff is no good. So people will now often give on my behalf, because they know that I have been saying, so I don't want to look like a hypocrite, so I have to say that sounds great. But really, the best gifts really are the ones that are experiences. So the best gift I think that I ever gave was a trip to the Grand Canyon that's coming up. And the best gifts that you receive really are, and I should say, by the way, experiences don't have to be a six-month trip or a week-long trip. It can be just a little evening out that's a little bit happier than getting something in a box.
All right. Well, great suggestions, great conversation for this time of year. Michael Norton is an associate professor at Harvard Business School. He's the author of the book Happy Money, The Science of Smarter Spending. And Michael Norton, thanks so much for coming in and wish you the happiest of holidays.
You too.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again Monday for more Radio Boston. Have a great weekend.